If you take up your Bible and turn it with me to the second chapter of the book of Acts. And in that second chapter, of course, we have the great Pentecostal sermon which Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. But I was greatly struck today, thinking of this time of prayer where we're going to have, upon the characteristics of that great and blessed sermon that he preached. Turn with me then to the second chapter of the book of the Acts. And in that we read in verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. There is the experience that we should live in. And many of us live in that experience. Not at the prayer meeting, or not on the Sabbath, but every minute of every day, of every week. What does it say? Sir says that David speaketh concerning him, and he said, I foresaw the Lord always before my feet. Is that who you're looking at? Is that to whom your eyes are tied all the day? My, I tell you, you'd be a real good-looking young lady if you kept looking at Jesus. And I would say to you older ladies, you would even be better looking than you do look. And I would say to the men, grumpy old men, you start looking to Jesus, and your wife will not know you. Your family will not know you. It'll be a great change. What a wonderful change has my life known since Jesus came into my heart. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. My, of Lord standing beside us with a strong right hand upon us, the devil cannot get us. The old devil's beaten before he starts. Thank God for that. The day of his victory never came. Christ did the victory over him. Therefore did my heart rejoice. Have you a rejoicing heart tonight? Have you? Is it rejoicing? One thing, our souls are out of hell. Hallelujah for that. There's one thing, heaven is our home. There's one thing, we've been born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood. The Holy Spirit dwells within our heart. The Bible is a new book to us because we have a new spirit and we have been born again. Therefore did my heart rejoice. I was struck with this today. Here is this fellow preaching to this great evangelistic rally in Jerusalem, and he's rejoicing. He's a rejoicing preacher. And he's shining with the glory of the Lamb. You know why? Because he had been at the prayer meeting in the upper room. Because he had been filled with the Spirit of God. Because the old life finished and a new life had begun for him. And he says here, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Thank God we'll never, never, ever be forsaken by God. We're His forever. Not for the time down here, but the time up there in heaven. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer my Holy One to see corruption. So he puts his soul on the same level as his own blessed Son, his Holy One. Do you think that? You couldn't get any higher than that. What a ladder we climb when the Lord picks us up and saves us. And then he says here, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Is that where you're living? Every day full of joy. My, some Christians, you look at them and they would turn the water into ice and the ice into muck, just like that. But thank God that we're walking with the Lord, we'll reflect the Lord. The beauty of Jesus will be seen in us. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre's with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And he has raised him up. Christ is risen. He's taken his seat. And he's coming again. Oh, glorious day. He's seeing this before speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, and his flesh would not seek corruption. And that is the same with us. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Listen. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this. What is this? Look at all these people. Look at them. You can see them. You can hear them. Why? Because they're changed men. Changed women. They've been filled with the Spirit of God. Look at verse 33. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this Pentecost, which we now see and hear. For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's the message. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Christ. And he has saved us with an everlasting salvation ordered in all things and sure. And you should have a smile on your face, not a scowl. You should be living where God answers prayer. You should be rejoicing. You know, some Christians, when you meet them, you think what the old Puritans said, that all the members of the Trinity were dead, and all angels were dead, and that heaven was a great burying place. No, heaven is a place where there's no death, where there is no judgment, where there is no unrest, where there is no war. It's a place of everlasting joy. So put a smile on your faces. Even if your teeth are hurting you, just put a smile on your face tonight and say, I want to enjoy the Lord. Pentecost was a call to enjoyment. I never noticed that until today. This passage is filled with joy. 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 And we have to be filled with joy. What a difference it makes when you meet a joyful Christian. Sometimes you meet people and you think that they were carrying the whole of the world's sorrows on their shoulders. And they know all about Mrs. So-and-so, how ill she is, and Mr. So-and-so's terribly ill. And it's a terrible day we're living in. And we might all lose our jobs. Well, it wouldn't matter if we lost our jobs. There'd be more people to evangelize. If everybody couldn't get a job, the only thing you could do is go out and start telling sinners they could be saved. And we could have a revival. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. I draw your attention to that portion of our Bible. Read it. Read it again. Read it again and again. And get this, the message of Pentecost is one of joy. Joy unspeakable. It's heaven begun in our hearts below. And heaven will not be strange to us if we're living in Pentecostal liberty down here on earth. May God do it in our hearts. And may we worship him and praise him. And may this be a meeting with a smile on it. And may this be a meeting where God, when God disturbs us with the power and infilling of the Spirit of God.